Just let us start by praying. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word and for your Holy Spirit that is indwelling us, indwelling our lives, indwelling our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you will teach us today your word, that you will teach us about faith. Thank you, Lord, for anointing my lips, for bringing out every word that you want to give those your precious sheep through me. I thank you, Father, for your leading and guiding in bringing out what you have given to me this morning. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's good to be here. And when deciding on what I'm going to preach today, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord talks a lot to me about what I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach. And he does it in unusual ways sometimes. And one of those unusual ways is that he gives me a title. He just gives me a title. I'm a title person, so to say. My wife is always ringing for titles. She's also a preacher. She preaches and teaches a lot also in the Bible school that we are part of. We're also part of a Bible school in Switzerland that we have together with some other churches and other pastors, friends of ours. And when Katharina has preached, she's always ringing for a title. For me, the title is first. Then comes what is underneath that title. So the Lord gave me the title, the nitty-gritty of faith. The nitty-gritty of faith. And when I heard that in my spirit, I already knew what I would have to bring you. First of all, I want to really point out the importance of faith. Amen. The importance of faith. This is not new revelation. What I bring to you today is not any new revelation. It's not very deep and it's not very high. It's just the fundamentals. But I strongly believe that we have to go back to the fundamentals, to the basics over and over again. If we lose our basics, if we lose the fundamentals, we are subject to every wind of doctrine that comes along. We are subject to every false and foul spirit that comes along our way, trying to incline us to something else. And so it is absolutely important that we know what we believe and what our faith is standing on. Hebrews 11, verse 6, of course, is a very well-known scripture that you should know by heart. I'm very strong on knowing scriptures by heart. Of course, most of them I know by heart in German. So I'm going to read them to you, not quoting them by heart in English. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is about as fundamental as you can get, I think. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. My question this morning is, do you want to please him? Do you want to please God? Do we want to please God? I think that's something that should be a motor to us, a motivator for all of our lives to be pleasing to God, to live a life and to talk a talk and to walk a walk that is pleasing to God. We want to please Him because if we please Him, we can also be sure of His blessing. If we are not pleasing Him, why should we even expect to be blessed by Him? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I think many people believe that he is, but the second part is lacking with many people, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I taught and preached a lot about the rewards of God and the rewards of believing God back in our home country. And I have the impression that many Christians have a hard time believing that God is their rewarder, that there even is such a thing as an earthly reward. But, of course, you must have an earthly reward. You are longing for an earthly reward. I mean, it's not always easy to follow the Lord. It's not always easy to be a Christian in this life. It's not always easy to believe the word over what you see in your circumstances. All those things are not very easy sometimes. So naturally, you are longing for a reward for that. And that this reward will not only be in heaven should actually be clear if you read your Bible. The righteous of all times have been rewarded, not only in the life to come, but also in this life. Amen. There is a reward for believing God. God will be your rewarder. Amen. Then, of course, Romans 14:23, and I'm reading the Amplified Bible here. But the man who has doubts, misgivings, an uneasy conscience about eating. Isn't it curious that the Bible even talks about what you shall eat and how you shall eat it? Everything that you're going to eat, you should eat in faith. Doesn't matter if you put salt and pepper or something on it, or ketchup, or whatever kind of sauce you put on it. The most important thing is that you eat by faith. And actually that means everything we do in our everyday lives, we should do by faith. Amen. I will start again. But the man who has doubts, misgivings, an uneasy conscience about eating, and then eats perhaps of you, stands condemned before God, because he is not true to his convictions, and he does not act from faith. For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. My, I think that's a strong word from Paul. Everything that does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. It's not only optional or something, it is sin. So every part of your life that is not out of faith, that you don't live by faith, that you cannot bring together with your faith, is sin. That should alarm us. It should alarm us about the importance of faith. I think many times we just walk and go through life very unconscious of what our lives really mean to the Lord, of what importance our lives are to him and our everyday walk is to him. If you walk by faith, if you go to the mall by faith, if you eat by faith, if you go to school by faith, if you work by faith, this means a great deal to the Lord. It makes a huge difference, not only in your life, but also in the life of many others. They should see that you walk by faith on a day-to-day basis, not only on Sunday. I think you all know that it's very easy to walk by faith on Sunday. When everything is convenient, when the pastor has preached you up, when the worship team has fired you up, when the anointing is so strong that you can hardly stand it, it's very easy to walk by faith. But Monday comes. Monday, you could say Monday always comes. As Brother Copeland sometimes say, healing always comes. You can also say Monday always comes. But that is more something negative, quote unquote. It's not really negative. Monday shall come. We should be ready for Monday. Amen. Hallelujah. So faith is very important. And I have another scripture for you about that. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. For by faith ye stand. I think those three scriptures show you very clearly the importance of our faith. If you want to stand in life, please have faith. Please don't try to stand any other way but by faith. There is nothing you can lean on, actually, if you don't have faith. Also, as a Christian, and you know, of course, or probably, that I'm not talking about the Christian faith in general. I'm talking about a living faith in the Word of God, in the reliability of the Word of God, and of all His Word. I'm talking about that kind of faith. By that kind of faith, you will stand. You don't stand by your general faith in God. There must be a God. That is not enough. Even the devils believe that and they tremble. So they don't stand. If you tremble, you cannot stand. So, but by faith you stand. We shouldn't be trembling people. We tremble maybe before the Lord, but we shouldn't tremble before any circumstances, before any devil, before any sickness, any lack or whatever it might be. In all those cases, we should stand. To be able to stand. Hallelujah. Now, I have 3 points. 3 points and a poem. No, it's the poem isn't. Katharina brings the poem. I bring the 3 points. About the nitty-gritty of faith. What is the nitty-gritty of faith? If it comes down to the nitty-gritty, what do you really have so that you can call it faith? What does faith make work? Did you ever ask yourself, okay, I'm a faith person. I'm believing in the word of faith. I'm part of a faith church. Why does my faith not work? I asked myself that, and I'm even a pastor of a faith church. I belong to the faith movement. I strongly believe in this message, in the word of faith. I translated several books by Brother Hagen from English to German. I translated 2 books by Brother Copeland from English to German and some of many others. I translated the book by Creflo Dollar into German. I should actually know about faith because all those people talk about faith. But I, as life went along, I came to a place and I came into situations where I realized my faith is not working right. My faith is not working right. And then you do not push faith away, but you start asking yourself, why is that so and what can I do to change it? That's the right approach in this kind of situation. So my first point is, number one, readiness to hear the same truth over and over again. You might make notice of that. A readiness to hear the same truth over and over again is a very important part of your faith. This is a sign or a mark where you can see if anyone has faith or not. Another question that we need to ask sometimes is, has that person faith, or has that group, that other group, do they really have faith? I can tell you, if people are not willing, are not ready to hear the same truth over and over again, they do not have Bible faith. Because if it's Bible faith, it has to be the same thing over and over again. I mean, the Bible is a thick book. The New Testament is a little bit thinner, but after a while, you have actually seen it. You have actually understood the most important points about it. Of course, there is always new revelation. Of course, there is always more than you already know, but only on the basis of what you already know. I'm sometimes wondering how people come to new revelations. Some of those new revelations are so strange. You can actually see that they came through people who were not ready to hear the same thing over and over again. They wanted to hear something new. Just give us something new, preacher. We need to hear something new now because we are bored by that old stuff. Don't bring the old stuff anymore. We want to have a new thing. The Lord is doing a new thing in the earth today. Don't you know that? Yes, He's doing a new thing based on the old thing, based on what we already know, based on what we already have, and of course, always based on the Word of God. A readiness to hear the same truth over and over again is very important and fundamental to faith. Of course, Romans 10:17 is a scripture that you can base that on. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to ever have faith, you need to hear what the word of God says. It's absolutely impossible to get big faith any other way. I mean, I think all of us have tried to get faith another way. Do you remember the times when we prayed for faith? I remember those times. When I first heard that we shouldn't pray for faith, the thought was strange to me. I thought, yeah, how shall faith then come if I cannot pray for it? But Brother Copeland explained that very good to us, because faith comes by hearing. And Brother Hagen and other faith preachers, faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. And you will not find any scripture that gives you another way how faith can come. It comes by hearing. And the hearing must be based on the Word of God. Here you have it again. What is the Word of God? It's a book written by man, inspired by the Holy Ghost, given by God the Father Himself. It's reliable. It's reliable, and concerning the Christian faith, it's the only reliable book that we have and that there ever might be. Don't trust in any other book if it contradicts the Bible. Hallelujah. Mark 5:27. When she, the woman with the issue of blood, had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. This woman, the woman with the issue of blood, with whom you're all familiar, I guess, how did that healing come to pass? How came that faith to pass that she had that enabled her to do a strange thing as she did, come in the press behind and touch the garment of Jesus? You probably heard that she wasn't allowed to do that because of the issue of blood that she had. She was supposed to stay home in her own room, not connecting to the outside world, not connecting even to her husband or to her children, not to be connected to any people outside of her own house. She was not allowed to come in the public. But she did it anyhow. Her faith, the faith that she had, enabled her to do something that she wasn't even allowed to do. Now please take that in the right way. Faith will not enable you to break the law. I'm not saying that. That's not what I say. But faith will enable you to break traditions. Traditions of man. And that's sometimes necessary. How did she get this kind of faith? She had heard about Jesus. And if you go to the Greek here, it says, akousas peri tou Jesu. I don't know if you understood that, but that was Greek. It maybe was all Greek to you. To me, it's a little bit more, because I understand what that means. The preposition peri, akousas peri tou Jesu, means that she heard of Jesus in a certain way. She didn't only hear about the person of Jesus, but peri means all around Jesus, all that was around Jesus. What was around Jesus? Around Jesus were his miracles. Around Jesus were his words. Everything that he did and said was around him. Yeah. She heard peri Jesus. She heard about him and everything that was around him. And she heard that over and over again. The phrase is in an active voice. That means she didn't hear only passive. It was not that she just heard a rumor about Jesus and what was around him. She heard active. Maybe it started with a rumor. Someone came to her and told her, there is a new healer in the land. There is a new prophet in the land. He really has miracle of a great kind, I can tell you. And because she needed a miracle desperately, her ears opened up. And finally, she was eager to hear more about Jesus and what had happened around him. It was active hearing. Our hearing, people, should be active. It shouldn't be only a passive hearing. I think sometimes in church, we switch into passiveness. We switch into passive hearing. We think, oh, come on, okay, Pastor, bring your word, bring your sermon. I'm ready to hear it. Don't go for too long. Because I'm already tired. But that is not active hearing. With that kind of hearing, you will not get big results. You will not get the big results that the woman with the issue of blood had. It was an active hearing, and she didn't only hear about a person. I think people that we want to reach for the gospel should always also be able to hear what happens in our midst, what happens around us. We are not only preachers and teachers of the gospel, we are also workers of the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Readiness to hear the same truth over and over again. And then Philippians 3 verse 1. I'm reading the 21st century King James Version. Philippians 3 verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you indeed is not grievous to me, but it is a safeguard for you. It is a safeguard for you. So one reason or one explanation why you should be ready to hear the same things over and over again, the same truth over and over again, is because it will become a safeguard for you. It will keep you safe. It will keep you standing. Otherwise, you might be subject to every wind of doctrine again. You might be subject to changing circumstances, changing winds of what people feel, or what people see at the moment, or what people have an impression about. But that's not safe. All those things are not safe. I like the Message translation of this verse. It says, "And that's about it, friends. Be glad in God. I don't mind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry, so here goes." Better safe than sorry. I like this expression. So if you're ready to hear the same truth over and over again, that means you're better, you like it more to be safe than sorry afterwards. And I can tell you there are many people that will afterwards be sorry that they followed the newest fad, that they followed something other than the Bible, that they followed something other than Bible patterns also. I don't know how it is here in America, but in Europe, there is a movement in the church against the local body, against the local church. We have many Christians in Europe, in Switzerland, Germany, all the other countries of Europe, many people that think or believe it's not necessary for me to be part of a local church anymore. Don't give me that burden anymore. I want to sleep long Sunday morning. I want to have fellowship with my family Sunday morning. I mean, you can have fellowship with your family Sunday morning by coming to church. It's a very close fellowship, I can tell you. It's a very important fellowship that you can have this way. But there are even books written about that. Some of them came from the U.S. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. But people in Europe, people in Switzerland and Germany, they easily believe that. It comforts their flesh. It gives their flesh something that eases up their life somehow. At least for the moment. But afterwards, they will be sorry. They will be sorry. So don't hesitate. Be ready to hear the same truth over and over again. And one other important part about this is that will be tested in your life. That will be tested. I have a nice experience or a funny experience along that way. Just when we drove here, my wife and I, we drove here by car from Dallas-Fort Worth, made station in Jackson, spent the night there. And We on the way to Jackson, we listened to a sermon by John Osteen. We had our iPod with us and were able to connect the iPod with the car media thing there. And so we were able to listen to John Osteen preaching. A very good sermon by the title of How Big Is Your Want-To? How Big Is Your Want-To? A classic, I guess. Very inspiring, very uplifting. And, you know, I really enjoyed it, even though I had heard it before. The next morning, when we sat in the car again, Katarina suggested, "Come, let us hear this sermon again." Ooh. What was my reaction? My first reaction was, oh no, I want to hear something else. I want to hear something new. But all of a sudden, of course, the Lord reminded me what I was going to preach this morning. So my eager, my readiness to hear the same truth over and over again has already been tested. My second part is willingness to bring great sacrifices for what one believes. That's the second part of the nitty-gritty of faith. If you really have faith, if your faith is real, if your faith is true, if your faith is Bible faith, you will be willing to make or to bring, if necessary, great sacrifices for what you believe. Just think about the martyrs of old, for example. They were ready, they were willing to bring the greatest, the utmost sacrifice for what they believed in. And God forbid that we may die as martyrs. This is not my wish. Absolutely not. I mean, you know, I love my life. Swiss people love their lives as much as Americans do. I read a book about martyrs and the early church and the persecution that they had. It's terrible to even read, I can tell you. It's terrible what they suffered. I love my life, but it comes to the utmost. I would be ready and I will be ready to die for my faith, to die for what I believe. But all the way to that, there are other sacrifices that we need to make and that will be requested from us. For example, let's look at some scriptures here. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, 21st century King James. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Not his life was requested, not for his life was he tested, but for the life of Isaac, who was more dear to him than his own life, I could imagine. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figurative sense. My question for you this morning is, are you willing to bring as a sacrifice the thing that is most dear to you? Of course, we don't pull the knife and lay someone on the altar and are willing to sacrifice them in a worthy sense. That's not what I talk about. But a person, for example, a child, a husband, a wife, can become so important to you that they are more important than God, that they are more important than His Word, His kingdom, His church, His calling for you. And that is wrong. There might come a time when God calls you to bring a sacrifice, when God requests this sacrifice from you. But there are many other things that we should be able and willing to sacrifice for our faith. For example, our time. For example, our money. For example, our effort. Our vision is also something. How big is your want to? John Osteen asked. It's a question of a sacrifice that you are willing to make. To have really a big want to is kind of a sacrifice. Because to have a big want to in one area always means to have a lesser want to in another area. So you have to leave that other area to be even able to have a big want to in the realm of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It can even come so far that the Lord asks you, are you willing to give me as a sacrifice your ministry? The Lord asked me that. I was so tied up in my ministry and in having success in my ministry. I was depressed when things didn't work out the way they should have, and when success wasn't that visible in my church and ministry. And we had many times in the last few years when that was the case. And the Lord had to ask me again and again, how important is your ministry to you? Is your ministry more important than I myself? Is your ministry more important to you than the relationship with a living God? With the Father of your heart, of your life, of your you, of the universe? And if that's the case, just sacrifice the thing. And that doesn't mean that God takes it away from you. But it's nonetheless, it's a very real experience that you will make then. You will have a kind of a resurrection experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians 2:17, Revised Standard Version. Philippians 2:17. Even if I'm to be poured as a libation upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. What is Paul talking about here? What is a libation? A drink offering. He was talking about his own blood. Precious people of God. Paul was talking about his own blood being sacrificed over the sacrifice of their faith. And that also means his own faith. His faith was strong enough to give his life for the gospel. And also for the people of God. How far would you go to protect the faith of a brother or sister in Christ? How far would you be able to go, willing to go, to protect the faith of a brother or sister in Christ? I think that's an important question that we need to ask sometimes. Then, Mark 14, 3-5. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant within themselves and said, why was this ointment wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Those 300 pence, just as a short explanation, it were actually 300 denarius. And a denarius was a worker's pay for one day. So this spikenard was so precious that 300 workers had to work for one day to be able to pay for such a thing. That means we should also be willing to sacrifice material things for our faith. I mean, what is your faith worth if you're not willing to sacrifice a material thing? That should be the least thing you are willing to give. And that's an area where we are all learning. I mean, we all of us, I think, we stick to our pockets. We stick to our wallets, I mean. We stick to our money. We stick to our belongings. And the Lord wants us to be willing and able to sacrifice things for the cause of the kingdom of God. And that doesn't always mean you bring it into the church. Sometimes that can mean you give it to another person. I never forget the moment I had the great privilege in 2008 to translate for Brother Copeland when he was in Basel, Switzerland, to do a victory campaign there. He and Gloria did a victory campaign, and I had the really a great privilege for me to translate for him from the stage. And on the last night of that victory campaign, he came into the speaker's room, and I wasn't expecting anything as a reward or something. It was a total great privilege to even meet him and talk something with him. But he came into that speaker's room. He came right to me. He took his watch off his wrist, gave it to me and said, I want to do something tonight. And gave his own watch that he wore himself for several years, probably, gave it to me. And I honored that watch greatly. And it meant much more to me than just the watch, you can imagine. It meant to me the time that this man of God that I greatly admire, time and worth and things that he wore, that were with him, that had a history with him. I later learned that Gloria gave that to him as a Christmas present, I think in 98. Can you imagine what that meant to me? It encouraged me so much. You are worth. You are not only worth in the eyes of God, you are worth in the sight of people. You are worth for the ministry. God has a plan. Amen. And it's bigger than Switzerland. I mean, to be able to reach Switzerland is very good, but it's not all that the Lord has laid on our hearts. That's one reason why we are standing here today. Hallelujah. Let's go to point three, and that is my last point in the nitty-gritty of faith. The last point, eagerness to tell others about the truth one believes in. I think that's one important last point that absolutely needs to be in place in your life if you want to have real faith. Everything that you believe in, but you are not willing to talk about it to yourself, to other people, in front of the church, in public, in front of the world, or even on TV, is something that you don't really believe. But if you are eager and willing and ready to talk about it, you can know for sure, yes, that's what I believe in. If you're ready to take the criticism for it, if you're talking in public about certain things, I mean, you all know. And it's no different in the US than it is in Europe. To talk about your Christian faith in public today is not very encouraged. It's not something people will hear. Especially not on the media. Oh, come on. Leave us alone with that book. Leave us alone with that God. Leave us alone with all of this. There are many ways to God. There is not only one way to God. How can you even say that there is only one way? Jesus. Other religions have other ways. Are they less than Christianity? Yes, we know that. That's the truth, man. And to tell that and to be ready and eager to say that in front of people, not to provoke someone, not in a provocative sense, but when people want to hear what you believe, be ready to tell others. Be ready to tell what the Lord has done in your life. Do you believe that you really have been healed? Then why shouldn't you be eager to tell others? 1 Peter 3:15, Revised Standard Version. But in your hearts, reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. That gives the right frame for this kind of defense of the truth. With gentleness and reverence for the other person. And also for the truth that you are communicating, of course. You can communicate the truth in a way that is not reverent at all. And then you bring shame, actually, to the name of Christ. That's something we don't want to do. True? Philippians 2:16, Amplified Bible. Holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and glory in that I did not run my race in vain or spent my labor to no purpose. That was one goal that Paul had, that all his spiritual children, the people that he brought to Christ, the people that he brought the gospel to them, were able to hold out the word of life. We're able to be witnesses again. Are you able to be a witness again for everything that you believe, for everything that the Lord has done in your life, what you have experienced yourself in miracles or healings or provisions that the Lord brought your way? Hallelujah. If you really believe in those things, if you really believe in that stuff, start telling it to others. Hallelujah. And that means, for example, that you talk to a dear brother or sister that don't believe in provision, that don't believe in healing, and explain them out from the Word of God why these things are true and very important and very precious. I can tell you one thing. I wasn't always in the Word of Faith movement. As a Christian, I came to know the Lord when I was 20 years old, more or less. And then I went to an evangelical church for 7 years. But I came to the point where the Holy Spirit, I realized that I needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And right after that, I came into Word and Faith circles. And without that, I wouldn't be standing here today. I would never have gone to the ministry without this message of faith. I could have done other things. Used to be a photographer, studied photography at art school for 5 years, for 6 years even. I could have done other things, but the Lord called me, and he called me to this message. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13, Weymouth translation. 2 Corinthians 4:13, that's my last verse. But possessing the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. That brings it down to a very basic level. We also believe and therefore we speak. If you believe, you will speak. Hallelujah. If you believe, you will speak. Let me repeat those 3 points. Point number one, a readiness to hear the same truth over and over again. Never let it be hindering to you if a message comes for the second time. Never say, Pastor James, you always preach that, and you already preached it last week. Bring something new on the scene. My second point was willingness to bring great sacrifices for what one believes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Never struggle with the tithe again.
Amen.
It goes further than that.
Yes.
Yeah. It goes much further than that, I can tell you. And my wife and I, Katharina, is a great giver. She, she's the bigger giver than I, actually. I can learn from her. And I did learn from her, right, in a very real sense sometimes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And my third point was eagerness to tell others about the truth one believes. If it's really the truth, why don't tell it to others?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Katharina.